First Peter chapter 3, verse 7. We're continuing our study of Peter's first epistle with verse 7 of chapter 3. Several weeks ago, starting with 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, we began a section of this letter that extends all the way to chapter 3, verse 12. This division of the letter deals with some practical implications of what it means to be God's people in a hostile world. As Peter begins a long section of his epistle teaching the duty of Christian submission of his, he deals first with submission to civil authorities, whether the ultimate ruler of the land or those who carry out his will. Peter then moves from submission to civil authority to submission of a slave to his master. Peter then closes chapter 2 with the example of Christ's submission. Last week, in the first six verses of chapter 3, we examined the submission of the wife to her husband. Today, we are going to focus on God's admonitions to the husband. And I noticed all the husbands are missing. Well, hopefully they're on Zoom or we'll listen to it later on our website, but that's just disappointing. Okay. You'll notice that compared with the first six verses dedicated to Christian wives, Peter's instructions for the Christian husband are relatively brief, probably because in that day and culture, the family normally followed the husband's religious choice. Even though the word submit is not used in verse 7 to exhort the husband, the whole context of submission in this epistle brings to the attention of the husband that he too needs to submit his desires to God's purpose in the marriage relationship. As we'll see in the rest of this message, the husband must subject his wishes to the will of God and the needs of his wife. Notice then Peter's instructions to Christian husbands. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." The first phrase in this verse, "in the same way," does not refer to subjection to the wife. Rather, in this context, it refers to the need for the husband likewise in the relationship of marriage to do everything possible to foster the spiritual life of the home, just as the wife on her part is to do this through her submission to her husband and by her quietness and godly behavior. So both should be working toward the spiritual life of the marriage relationship in their different ways that God has appointed. Although in verse 1 and 2, the admonition to Christian wives includes the common situation where the husband may be unsaved or backslidden, which is another possible meaning of the expression, disobedient to the word. Here in verse 7, there is no indication of an unsaved wife. The assumption here is that the wife is saved, as we'll notice at the end of the verse. This could be simply because of the fact that if a Christian husband is treating his unsaved wife in a Christ-like manner, the likelihood of her placing her faith in Christ is increased exponentially. The first admonition to husbands is to live with their wives in an understanding way. You know, I know I hear these jokes all the time about clueless men, okay, and clueless husbands, and I understand there's a lot of ammunition for that one. Okay. However, God says, husbands, you don't have to be clueless. You need to live with your wives in an understanding way. The husband needs instruction concerning the care of his wife for several reasons. A harsh or unthinking Christian husband could cause a hindrance to the family's spiritual growth. So to live with your wife in an understanding way means primarily to think before you act. Think about your relationship with your wife and consider her needs before your own. A servant's heart. You know, every leader needs to have a servant's heart. And it's very interesting that the position of pastor is sometimes called minister. Anybody ever heard that? Okay, who's the minister of your church? Okay, but have you thought about what minister means? It means servant. And that's good because that's exactly the kind of attitude any leader should have, whether a pastor or a husband or a boss even. So to live with your wife in an understanding way also includes understanding the differences between how God made men and how he made women. I think it's a French saying, vive la différence. I don't know. Anybody ever heard that? Okay. So they were aware that there's a difference between men and women. There really are differences. God made us different for a reason, so that it would fit together like pieces of a puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle. So Peter refers to women as being weaker, but this is not to be taken as being weaker morally, spiritually, or intellectually. It simply means that as a general rule, although not always, the typical woman has less physical strength than a typical man. The husband must recognize this difference and take it into account. There are a number of other differences that should be obvious. The key, husband, is to think about these differences and lovingly keep them in mind in your attitude and actions toward your wife. Something else to consider here, husbands, is that this Greek adjective, asthenestero, can also, in a figurative way, mean more delicate, which would imply your need to take greater care of her and consider her more precious. The second admonition to the husband is to show his wife honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. The Greek word translated honor here in this verse is timē, which has the basic root meaning of high value or precious. So that goes together with that kind of definition of precious instead of weaker, that idea of delicate. So the husband must treat his wife as someone of great value, deserving of every courtesy and respect and regard. Elsewhere in the New Testament, husbands are commanded to love their wives, which demands even more sacrificial giving of himself on her behalf. In fact, just as Christ gave himself for us. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. So that sacrificial love, putting her needs before his own needs. Peter gives an important reason for this honor that is due the Christian wife. Men must remember that women are co-heirs of the gracious gift of life. Gender distinctions are only for this age. Women will have an equal share in the new earth and heavenly kingdom. And even now in this present life as believers, they experience the grace of God equally with men. Keep your place in 1 Peter here, but turn to Galatians chapter 3, if you will. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So in Christ we are all equal in every way. Now, notice that the Holy Spirit chose to emphasize one reason above others for Christian husbands to obey these instructions. You must understand that selfishness and self-importance in the marriage relationship will not only adversely affect your relationship with your wife, but more importantly, it will mar your relationship with God. This problem with your relationship with God will show up most glaringly in the area of prayer. Notice with me again the last phrase in 1 Peter 3:7, so that your prayers will not be hindered. The obvious conclusion here is that when the husband is not living with his wife in an understanding way, and when he is failing to show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, then God, as a general rule, is not going to answer the husband's prayers. The obvious reason for this is that unanswered prayer is one way God has to motivate the husband to realize his wrong view and treatment of his wife and motivate him to repent and change. My question for every husband listening to this message is this: are you living with your wife in an understanding way? And are you showing her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life? If not, then you need to repent and ask for God's grace and wisdom to change. Now, as we come to the end of our study of this verse, let me change gears, so to speak, from a focus on husbands to a focus on prayer. Prayers are hindered because of many reasons in addition to the one we just studied. Pride, a stubborn spirit, idols in your heart, unconfessed and unforsaken sin in your life, all hinder your prayers in general. A selfish motive in asking can hinder specific requests in prayer. As Psalm 66, verse 18 says, "If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear." In other words, if I do not confess and forsake my sin, God will not hear my request. He can hear it, but he will not answer it. So something that is serious that should wake us up. Oh, listen, my brother, you need to humble yourself anew and afresh. Get rid of anything that has become an idol in your heart, anything that you are, in effect, putting before God and his will. Confess and forsake every sin in your life and desire God's will to be done in every request you bring before God in prayer. Only then will you see God begin to answer prayer in a mighty way. Now, please understand that, ladies, you're included in this, and your prayer needs to also be one where you confess all known sin, come before the Lord with a clean, cleansed heart, and with a desire to do God's will as you come to him in prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, "And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." One last admonition I would give you in a matter of prayer: make prayer a priority in your life, not an afterthought. Spend much time with your Lord and Savior in prayer. You cannot develop your personal relationship with the Lord through Bible reading alone, although Bible reading is key as well. But you need both the Bible reading and prayer together. Set aside your best time of the day for prayer. Some of you would say, "I'm not a morning person." I heard that expression today. Well, if you're not a morning person, then take time to read God's word and pray at night. I'm more of a morning person, and so at night, you know, I'm starting to fade, okay? So therefore, don't leave prayer time for the end, because I might fall asleep while I'm praying. But pick the right time, the best time for the Lord in prayer. God will abundantly bless you for it, and you will see him answer your prayers in a mighty way. As we continue our study further into chapters 3 and 4 of 1 Peter, we're going to find a further development and application of the two themes we encountered here earlier in chapter 2. If you remember, submission and suffering. So the two S's there, submission and suffering. What a blessing that God has made his all-sufficient grace available to enable us to glorify him through all we may face. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? This has been a short message, but I hope that it will be one that will help you remember the principles that we studied. As always, I want to give you an opportunity to let the Lord speak to your heart through his word. Has he shown you, husband, something you need to change in your heart and life? Will you respond to him now and ask him for his grace to enable you to repent and change in line with his word? Maybe you're not a husband, but the Lord has shown you something today that you need to change in your heart and life. Will you respond to him now and ask him for his grace to enable you to repent and change in line with his word? If it would be a help to you for me to be a witness of your decision, would you let me know by raising your hand and by saying that you're saying, Pastor, I need help in putting into practice what I know God wants me to do. Please help me to find the right verses. Help me to have practical suggestions on what to do to follow the Lord in this. If the Lord's speaking to your heart about this, just let me know by raising your hand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this one verse in our text this afternoon. Father, I pray that every husband listening to this message, whether here in the room or on Zoom or later listening on our website, I pray that you would help each husband to take seriously what we have learned today about God's will, your will for us as husbands. Father, I pray that you would move every wife to pray for her husband and to ask the Lord for wisdom to know how to respond to her husband in such a way that Christ is seen in her and he would be convicted of his need to obey you in the things that you have stated here in this verse 7. Lord, for those who have unsaved husbands, I pray, Father, that you would use the godly life of each wife who is saved to be a testimony and would convict that unsaved husband and bring them to see their need to trust Christ as Savior. Lord, I pray for everyone, every one of us, Lord, may we realize our need to put prayer as a high priority in our life. I pray that we would see our need to spend time in your word and spend time in prayer. Lord, that we would grow in our relationship with you as we read what you have written, as we learn more about your will, your way, your person. And then, Lord, as we have the opportunity to talk to you in prayer, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.